Kenosha Sports Extra, the podcast, back after a brief hiatus, back doing the radio thing. I always had a natural break when Carthage College women's hoops came up, and from early January to early March, I usually had a little break. And as much as I enjoyed always being on the air, I also enjoyed my little break. So I decided to take another little break, get through the transition of the holidays, take a little time off, not run around and try to get this thing done. But we're back. We will be back every week from now for the foreseeable future. But that being said, after a stinging Packer NFC Championship playoff loss, I'm the only person that sounds like me that I know. I really and truly am. And I, of course, try to see the game as it is. Aaron Rodgers has never been a sacred cow to me. Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Absolutely, positively, no question about it. Aaron Rodgers has been and probably will continue to be the quarterback of the team that I love, and I have nothing but the greatest respect for that and believe that we are as lucky as people say we are to have Favre and Rodgers back-to-back. Whether or not they've won enough Super Bowls, another story for another day. So at no point am I an Aaron Rodgers hater. But I also do not believe that Aaron Rodgers is a sacred cow. And after the game on Sunday, I was talking about a couple of different plays that even though the Green Bay Packers as a whole may have made some mistakes and some missteps, if you take the body of work of whatever the Packers did as a group, and if you take two or three, depending upon how deep you want to go, decisions made by Aaron Rodgers inside the 10-yard line in a goal-to-goal circumstance, it's an 8-point swing. Instead of two field goals, it's two touchdowns. That is an 8-point swing. You lost by six. So, I mean, and then it immediately went back to all the things we don't have, all the things that were wrong in that game, all the players that let the Green Bay Packers down, all the players we immediately start bitching that we need to draft next year. And again, that's what fuels social media. Hopefully that's what gets somebody to click this link to listen to this shit. And that's cool. Don't get me wrong. But does anybody even think to say, hey, wait a minute. Is it inconceivable to think that the soon-to-be three-time league MVP maybe kind of went 0-for-2/0-for-3 on some really, really big decisions, and at the end of the day, it may have actually been the difference between playing next week and not playing next week? Nobody will talk about it. Nobody will talk about it. I'm the spawn of hell for even considering it, which is all well and good. The day I become mainstream is the day you'll never be burdened by this idiot again. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I can't get anybody to even have a discussion about this. You know, you'll get the obligatory one or two thumbs up. Yeah, you know, sure could have, but not some 25 character banter back and forth between a handful of different people. It's like I'm the only one that considers it. But I know that's not true because there's a lot of people that consider it. So the first thing I say to myself is, self, who are you going to get to talk about this in general? I'm like, well, it's got to be a Bear fan. And I'm like, wait a minute. I record my podcast at the home of a Bear fan. So Scott Cavelli from the Basement Bench Warmers, the captain of the Basement Bench Warmers, who continually upgrades this studio to the point where I worked in AM radio for on and off, part-time and full-time for about 30 years. And this place is probably better than any AM radio studio I've ever been in. And it's Scott's basement. And it's cool. And look for more and great big things from the basement bench warmers. But please, welcome to the back to the program, friend of the program, and quarterback of everything I do, technically, Scott Covelli. Scott, welcome back to Kenosha Sports Extra.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So, I mean, I'm going to be brief with what my thoughts are, and I want your opinion on them. First play, first and goal, Rodgers makes the back shoulder throw to Adams. Not a perfect pass, a catchable ball nonetheless, and not caught. So quarterback slash receiver, both first team all pro and massively deservedly so, still being said, that's still nothing we've seen all year long. That one, you felt like that might have been a little tight. Oops, we missed that one. Well, guess what, folks? You really can't miss that one. So there you have a play that should have been a touchdown that was not. I'm not saying that was Aaron Rodgers' fault. I'm saying Aaron Rodgers certainly could have made a better pass. Davante Adams certainly could have caught the ball. And then the one that really kind of blows my mind is the 2 feet out of the back of the end zone, because Alan Lazard was dragging underneath, and he was at like the 4-yard line, and there wasn't a defender within 5 yards of him. And the reason that it makes me so mad is because in the last Lions game, if you watch, they're on the 41-yard line, but they're going down to try to make it a 2-score game or run out the clock, whichever one. And Adams is in the same set. Lazard is in the same set. Adam peels it out instead of in, but he still tries to get the ball to Adams. It's knocked down. Lazard comes from underneath. Nobody's within 5 yards, and the defender fell down. Yet, we end up having to settle for a Mason Crosby career-long field goal just to make it a 2-possession game. If not, the Lions got the ball first and 10 on their own 41-yard line with 3 minutes to go in a 1-score game. Those are plays that make a difference. And why he didn't throw it to him there, oh, it's because, you know, he only trusts Davante Adams. Well, he threw a shit ton of touchdowns to people not named Davante Adams to get him to the MVP. So why he didn't throw that ball to Lazard there, who could have tumbled into the end zone, is something that gets me fired up. And then on third and goal, all you got to do is take off to the pylon. Just go, like you've done a million times before, and instead he rifles it into the ground in front of two defenders with Davante Adams behind them, meaning Davante Adams was the third most likely guy to catch that ball. And I heard on Sunday, oh, well, do you know, Rodgers didn't even know they weren't going for it on fourth down. All the more reason to run the ball. Get 3 yards if you think somehow Jason Pierre-Paul can become Tyreek Hill behind you and catch you, so be it. But if you get 2 or 3 or 4 yards, it sets up fourth and two. Mason Crosby stays on the sideline. It's a completely different game. Yet somehow nobody will talk about the fact that Aaron Rodgers may have made some decisions inside the 10-yard line that could have cost the Green Bay Packers a trip to the Super Bowl, and I think that's terrible. Sorry, I got a little fired up there, but obviously I've been running this through in my head for the last 2.5 days, and it's like, it's a pretty Loctite alibi. Find me somebody who can find something on film that disagrees with me. It doesn't exist.
Well, everything you said, I totally agree with. That's the funny thing. I don't disagree with one thing you said, and every time I've said it this week, I'm the evil Bear fan because I hate Rodgers. Well, that's not the case. I respect Rodgers as a quarterback. I hate him when he plays the Bears. That's fine.
Of course.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean,
it's the only reason I could get somebody to talk to me.
Unless I have him in fantasy, I don't like him.
Exactly.
When he plays the Bears.
Exactly.
So everything you said, I'll start, go to the third down play, third and eight, whatever, or third and goal from the eight, whatever, and he didn't run. The idea in my head is that, like you said, we don't know what we're doing on fourth down. Well, even more the reason to score a touchdown on third down. I mean, you had three downs. You're the MVP. Doesn't matter if you're going to go for our fourth down. You need to score on one of those first three downs. You're the MVP. And he became he got, I don't know, Devontae vision in the goal area. And I don't know what that was from because he utilized Lazard, MVS, Tanyan, Jones out of the backfield, and all these resources he has that are all guys that are proven.
Dominique Daphne.
The only guy might not throw it to is MVS in the end zone, but because he sometimes drops, but still, if he's open, you're going to give him a chance.
St. Brown is the only one they shouldn't see.
Yeah.
How does that dude get the ball?
If you go Lazard, Jones, Williams, we can name them all here. Tanyan, I trust every one of those guys at this point. They have
and
to be trusted.
So does Rodgers.
Yeah, and it's almost like he was forcing himself to throw in those spots, and he just I think the pressure of these situations and not are getting to him, but it's to the point of he's getting to him because he knows time's catching up now. It's not 2010 when it's almost the Marino syndrome. A little late, a couple years after Rodgers got the starting job. I don't know, it was like 2 years after he got the starting job that somebody won the Super Bowl?
Right.
Okay. Marino syndrome. Remember Marino went to the Super Bowl rookie year and he made the comment, "I'll be back." It's not as easy as people think in the NFL. It has to come. You can have the best five players and still not make it ever.
Correct.
So I think that's getting. I think it's almost in his head now. It's the yips almost, and not the essence. I mean, of he's making, you know, yips bad throws or overthrowing guys by 50. No, but I think he's getting a mental. It's in his head now. I really do. I think he's starting to go, "Oh man, I've got to win these now." And I've only got so many years left. Unless I want to play till I'm 45, like Tom Brady is, which he may. He keeps in shape. He's athletic. I mean, nowadays the age, there is no age anymore in the NFL for quarterbacks. So, but I agree with you a ton. I think all those plays. The first play was the weirdest one to me because I was watching a game with Willie from the Benchwarmers.
Yes, sir.
And we were sitting there watching it, and it was the first and goal play they had, Devontae Adams' back shoulder throw, and when he lined up. It was almost, I think the guy was off coverage, or maybe he was on the goal line and Adams was like 3 yards off. I go, "They're going to go corner on this. They're going to go right that corner play. He's going to jab him in and go corner." He jabbed him in and went to the out, and he either way was going to be open because the guy was almost stumbling backwards. So Rodgers almost forced it, like not forced it, but like threw like a fastball, like he had no time.
Right.
It was insane. He could have actually just kind of threw it to the pylon, lobbed it. I could have, honestly, without the rush, obviously, I could have probably threw that ball to the pylon. He could have, with the coverage that was going on. It was just a weird game at times. It was strange. All the stuff that happened, and like you said, blaming Kevin King for these mistakes, and he should be gone, and blah, 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 which he is a free agent, I think.
And he should be gone.
But yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of stuff in that game that could have changed.
And it's not like you could sit here and talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the perfect game.
No.
You can't sit here and talk about Tom Brady being perfect, so you had to be perfect. Everybody gets thrown in a basket of spaghetti because there's a ton of misplays. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of misplays on both sides. The Packers, two offensive tackles, okay. It's been patchwork since Bakhtiari went down. They've been holding their own. Well, they're playing against one of the four teams left standing, and it's going to get exposed a little bit. It didn't kill them.
Yeah.
Kevin King played like trash. It still didn't kill them. If you take away Tom Brady's horrifically defensively poorly called cost Pettine his job throw, Tom Brady's line is 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. Ask any human alive. You go into a game and you're playing at home for the NFC Championship with the MVP as your quarterback, and the greatest guy to ever play the game goes 223, 2, and 3 on consecutive trips down the field in the second half. You would get 80-20 odds, if not 90-10.
Yeah.
Yet somehow we didn't win the football game. And let's talk about Equanimeous St. Brown dropping a fucking 2-point conversion. Get out of here. God, it just frosts me.
Well, and back to Rodgers, and this isn't knocking him, but I've always said this about Rodgers, and he's number one, he's not Brett Favre. And when I say that, Brett Favre is and was a leader of men. I do not think Aaron Rodgers is a leader of men. I think he's a leader of when it's going good. And that was the thing I noticed, too. The thing that kind of was weird to me, when they didn't get that first touchdown, they had to kick, it was 14-10. and Devontae Adams is slamming his helmet down on the sidelines, and it's like, it's almost like they lost it there.
They were pressing early.
It was like, whoa, you were right on the money.
It was crazy.
I'm like, this is 14-10. You stopped them twice already. You stopped them again. Go on, get, you kick another field goal. It's 14-13. It's not like this game. It's not like it's the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, and the game ended. It's like, it was first quarter, early second quarter. I'm like, what am I watching here? Helmets going down. I mean,
you were watching is nothing like the Packers played all year long.
No. And kudos to Tampa's defense. Tampa's defense was the best unit on that field that day, I thought.
Absolutely.
Overall. I mean, Packers defense did play well.
Yes, they did.
But I thought the two best units were the defenses.
Correct.
I thought by far. I thought the offenses didn't play up to what you thought you would see. They scored, but it wasn't what you thought you would see. You almost thought you might see a Pro Bowl game of scoring where we're just going to be up and down the field. And when they went down the field the first time, the Packers, it was like, oh, this might be a drag race today. Good. It's going to be fun to watch. But it just kind of went away, and it was weird. But back to the Rodgers thing. Rodgers, just after the game, when they asked him about what happened, and his answer is, that's not my call. That's a leader thing. And the leader thing, my answer in being the diplomat would be, well, I'm the MVP. I have to score. I got three downs to score. I have to score. Right? I mean, wouldn't that be the answer instead of kind of, once again, a little jab to LaFleur, the guy that I think kind of catered the offense back to him a little bit this year,
Of course.
A lot of throwing inside the 10, which I got kind of laughed at this year. Aaron Jones' number went down. They threw a lot more touchdowns. And hey, the bottom line is they scored. It doesn't matter how you score. But the question I have, too, though, is first and goal twice, and they throw the ball six times.
Correct.
Not one draw, not one handoff to Jamal, give A.J. Dillon the ball, anything.
Dude, that inside handoff to Jamal Williams has not been stopped all year long.
Six plays, goal to goal, not one running play. So is that LaFleur's fault for catering, or was it? And I'm not in film study. I don't go in and see. And Tampa Bay was number one rush defense this year. And maybe in the goal to goal, they were even better, which I don't know how you get higher than them. But still, you have to impose your will on them.
If you got Adams spread out and MVS over there and Tanyan in the slot, I don't give a damn if you got the 85 Bears over there.
I agree.
You are stretched out enough where Jamal Williams and one block, a double block with Lindsley and Jenkins, and run right up his ass the first play, and instead of being first and goal at the six to second and goal at six, you're second and goal at the 2.5.
That's what I said.
Completely different game.
I was talking to guys last week, and I said that, like, well, I go, it's not about scoring, though. It's about making a second and four, or a second and goal at the four, or a even it's at the five. It's something. It's getting you in that range where it's tighter, but you can still run the ball. If you really want to dedicate yourself, you can still run the ball maybe two more times. You might even be able to score on that three. You might. I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know. Like we say, you can't go back and do it, but I still think six plays, goal to goal in a playoff game, at home, you have to try to run the ball at least half the time in those plays.
And I would have absolutely no problem in that case if you're at the 6 yard line, three of the four plays, run them
and go for it then on fourth down.
Just run them.
Yep.
And if you would run the first one, and you would play action the second one, touchdown. It's over. Well, I guarantee you. And instead, we miss the wide open Devontae Adams, and now everything gets pulled back a little bit.
Well, if you run, let's say you run two times the first drive, you don't get on a third one. Okay, kick a field goal. The second time when you're down there late in the game, in the fourth quarter, same formation, like you just said, first play, play action out of it. There, you set them up for later. They're thinking, see the formation, guys want to outsmart themselves and go, okay, same formation, they're going to run that same play that got like 3 yards last time, we're going to stop it, we want them to get, they jump on it, you got Tiny in the middle standing by himself, something like that. I don't know, but I just think Rodgers is a Hall, like you said, everything you said about him is totally correct. Hall of Famer, going to go down as one of the greatest in history, hands down, there's no questions, just the way he plays the game. But I think the other thing about him I talked about on our show last week, I brought up, and I got kind of eye rolls and stuff. But talk about Tom Brady in that game. Blitz coming, third and whatever. One of them was third down, I know for sure. Third and whatever from like the 50. Comes back and he just throws it up. Gets picked. Okay. Is what it is. It's like a punt.
An arm punt.
Yeah, whatever. You're taking a chance. Maybe Mike Evans grabs it for you, whoever he's throwing to. So later in the game, you have Rodgers like at his own four or their own 40, drops back, has two, he's looking, takes a sack on third down. When is the last time you saw Rodgers just throw a ball up in a double coverage, just taking a chance? When's the last time you saw it?
Yeah, it don't happen.
He don't do it because his numbers have to be shiny.
Yes.
And I have no – hey, I'm not arguing with 4 or 5 interceptions a year. I'm not arguing. But on that play, hey, if you got Lazard down the middle on two guys or Scanling or Devontae, whoever, throw it down the field. Pass interference. A ball pops up, catch it. Hit to the one of those crazy hit to the head calls. Getting sacked does nothing for you. Unless different situations, it's smart to take a sack. But a third down, just launch it, man. You can throw it 50 yards. If the guy catches it, it's a punt.
Especially a guy who's made his bones on pulling Hail Marys out of his ass.
And I'm not saying every time. This is not what I'm saying. But when's the last time you saw him throwing double coverage?
And it's almost like...
In a situation like that, I don't think throwing double coverage is the answer. The far way. That's what he did, and he probably made you pull your hair out. But... He played a different way. And yeah, but you want to kind of see what I'm saying with that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Favre, to me, the one thing about Favre that I believe is different than Aaron Rodgers is, for all of his faults and for all of his positiveness and everything in between, Brett Favre was still about winning the game, period, at all costs, no matter what the physical... downside is, no matter what where you're at in your life, no matter what the weather is, no matter what, if your team is doing well or doing poorly, it seemed to me like on Sundays, Brett Favre was like, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is coming out of this bitch with a win, period. Aaron Rodgers seems to me like it's still much more about the brand. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. Everybody is well aware that he's a very smart, intellectual human being. I do not see him as a bad person. It's a completely different vibe. It's a completely different feel. Like last year, the Packers were 13-3, complete pretenders. Complete pretenders. Absolutely no chance of winning simply because their defense wasn't anywhere near good enough. Exponential leap from last year to this year in terms of defense. Rashawn Gary becomes real. Darnell Savage becomes real. Jair Alexander goes hyperdrive into top three status. Zadarius has almost as good as year. Preston, what Gary did kind of made up the difference.
But Preston Smith did play. The last 4 or 5 games, he came back.
Kenny Clark, phenomenal year. Mm-hmm. The two guys on the inside on the linebackers, okay. Amos, great year. So it's like, to me, that was almost a complete difference. And then you could see a certain amount of buy-in into the offense from Rodgers. Rodgers last year never once bought into that offense. And guess what? Even though they were 13-3, his numbers were very pedestrian for Aaron Rodgers. This year you could tell he had much, much more buy-in into the offense, and he had an MVP season. So again, not doubting one bit the man's ability or his stature or his standing in the greats of all time, I still believe that guys like Sean McVay believe that LaFleur hit the jackpot because they already know he's got the offense. Now he happens to have a Hall of Famer to be able to run it instead of Jared Goff. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and people want to say, oh, it's Rodgers. Oh, well, we got to go get him more people. It's like bullshit. You had enough people. You had enough people to win last week. And will you get more people? Yeah. Are you going to bitch about him because you immediately think, oh, that's not who we need. We got to go get another wide receiver. It's like you went and got a bunch of defensive guys, and then you went and moved up to draft a dude that said, hey, Aaron, even though we were 13-3, if you're not going to buy into this offense, you'll be a Raider next week. And all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers buys in, and you have this – best vibe feel run in the last decade. Yet somehow we didn't win the game. and somehow it's everybody else's. Rick Wagner, garbage. Equanimeous St. Brown, garbage. MVS, garbage. It's like those guys haven't been garbage all year long. They haven't been great. They're not Pro Bowlers, but they're also not making $36 million a year or whatever. It's like, and now it's like, oh, we got to pay Aaron Rodgers more money. It's like, you all want to talk about Tom Brady and all the rings that Tom Brady's got. Do you once think that after yet another Super Bowl, Tom Brady was ever the highest paid quarterback in the game? No, because he traded money for rings. You already make more money than Scott and Pat could spend together in 40 lifetimes. You're going to make endorsements up the ass. You could probably go host Jeopardy. You could do whatever the hell you want. Maybe, just maybe, don't worry about the money. And I'm not saying he's worried about the money, because I didn't hear it from him that he's worried about the money. But it's like people automatically are like, well, we got to pile on, because if this guy's worth this, then Aaron Rodgers has got to be worth way more than that. Yeah, if you look at the game that way, but guess what? You'll have Aaron Rodgers and 10 dudes like me out there, because that's all you can afford.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope with the whole contract there, because we were actually looking at it the other day, me and Ed were looking at it, and we were looking at the different, there's a over-the-cap site you can go to, and you can check it out. It's kind of cool looking at each team. And you look at the Chiefs, yeah, they look good, but they're coming to that point. You have the $40 million man, or $45 million man, which a different structure, it goes up and down, whatever. But you got like a guy like Tyreek Hill, you got a guy like Kelsey. You have a bunch of guys on that team defensively. The Honey Badger, he makes good money.
Left tackle, LaJuan, yeah, he makes a
and also the left tackle at
Fisher.
Fisher, who tore his ACL.
Yeah.
That's a shame. I hate to say that's
true. Terrible. That.
Terrible.
True that.
But I look at a couple things, and when you do that money thing, man, it's been proven years. This is the first year we actually looked it up, or we looked up this year's numbers, and it's the first year in a while that your final four had this many high-priced quarterbacks in it. It's kind of weird. Like, Mahomes isn't high-priced. Remember, next year's contract kicks in.
Ah.
So he's still at the $5 million or three. So he's – and last year he was under – so you look at it, it's very rare that top five or top six, seven quarterback money gets in, because it's the money. It's unless you're a Rodgers, which a guy who can really carry that team the extra step possibly. But a guy like Matt Ryan making that much money – He's a good quarterback, but you're dead.
And even good guys like Russell Wilson,
yeah,
who won it in his last year of his rookie contract, and it's like,
And they've just gone backwards. They keep trading for guys that Jamal Adams, who's a great player, but first rounders are golden, man. It's hard to part with them. But yeah, I think that's the problem. Throwing money at Rodgers isn't the answer. That's just going to take away money from, if you want to get Williams or Jones back. I don't know what that debate is, but that's a different day. And it's just one of those things. You got to pay guys like Lindsley. Lindsley is going to be a free agent. Do you want him back?
The only problem I have with Lindsley is that he's the best center in the NFL, and the second best center in the NFL might be his left guard, Elgin Jenkins.
Yeah, so they'll slide him over, yeah. And they can draft a guard or something and hopefully
get but I mean, spot. You still kind of kick yourself in the ass if you say, it's still center money. We still got to pay. You know, it's not like we're paying him wide receiver. It's still center money. Yeah. It's like, dude, you can ink this contract. You'd be the highest paid center in the whole NFL. Still not break our bank. 25 years after you retire, you're still going to be walking on water in Green Bay, making all the money in Green Bay you ever want to make. You'll be in our Hall of Fame. We'll make you a special liaison to who gives a shit for $1 million a year for the rest of your life. I mean, sometimes I think those offensive linemen hopefully got a little bit different mentality, but I think Jones and Williams, I think Jones is gone.
Yeah.
I think Williams stays.
Yeah, because we were looking at the running back money, the highest paid, and like they're making like McCaffrey and Kamara. You're talking 13 to 15 a year. There's no way the Packers. But in back, you talked about Tom Brady, and with the Tom Brady thing, Tom Brady many a times has actually took restructures to make guys fit.
Right.
So instead of saying, let's throw money at Rodgers, Rodgers should be saying, let's restructure and let's get me some guys here.
Somehow pay me $15 million
And I did say this. I'm not for players telling management, like Deshaun Watson, you know, upset that he didn't hire who he wanted, that's different. But if you're going to restructure a contract, and I really believe that quarterback, especially the Hall of Fame quarterback, has a right to sit in on who they think about, who we're going to think about the grab with the money he's given up. And I'm not saying he should sit there and go, I want this and this and this, but maybe, you know, they say, well, we want to get this. And he goes, well, okay, but we kind of maybe need this. I, you know, just at least be part of the conversation. Tom Brady, I don't know if he ever was. I don't know. But if you're giving up your money, but that's a thing. It's more of, is Rodgers going to maybe throw money back into the kitty to help the team? Not ask for more to match Mahomes. And that's the scary thing. I mean,
yeah.
Because if he does that, if he does the restructure, I think the Packers have 2 or 3 more years to do this. If he sits what he's got, or it goes in and asks for more, which I don't think he's going to ask for more. I think that's just a crazy rumor. I don't know if that would go over well. Yeah, it really is. But if he were to, that would set them back the next 2-3 years and just what they can do. They can draft still, obviously. But free agency, I mean, you just want to grab 1 or 2 guys here or there.
Well, and that's why they grab Dylan. I mean, people are like, Dylan, what the hell are you grabbing? It's like you got one unrestricted free agent, one restricted free agent that are 94% of your running game. At the end of the day, it truly comes down to productivity per dollar spent.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, everybody would love, we definitely need Jones back. Well, it would be really great to have Williams back. It's like, I think Williams being restricted and always having been kind of second fiddle, there's no way he would, even on the open market to the hungriest of running back needy teams, he's still going to get half of what Jones is going to get, which leads me to believe that he would be the frontliner that you could keep. He's a much better blocker. I still think he's a much better in between the tackle runners. And even though it doesn't necessarily play into Aaron Rodgers' hand, that Packers offense that it is today is still 100% predicated on the success of the run.
Yeah.
When they started running the ball, which is exactly why they went and got Rick Wagner. Rick Wagner, hey, he's not Brian Bulaga. He's not $12 million a year Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga, who started 9 games, finished 7 games. Rick Wagner at half the cost. It's like, dude, you need to keep somebody off number 12 for 2.75 seconds, and you need to be a mauler on run, period. That's all we need you to do. And you know what? He was fantastic. He gave up before this last weekend. He gave up 1 sack, 2 hurries, 0 penalties all year, like 479 snaps.
Yeah.
That's productivity for your $5 million.
Yeah.
F Brian Bulaga. With all due respect to a Packer great, he's going to be hurt for $16 million on your cap.
Yeah.
And people are just like, oh, we don't even have a right tackle. It's like, do you think the people whose jobs depend upon whether or not the Packers have a right tackle think that the Packers don't have a right tackle? Oh, it just frosts me. But it's the same people who will say, Rodgers, look at how great he did. Look at his stat line. It's like, I don't give a shit about his stat line. Did we win the game? Can you point to 2 or 3 plays that could have changed the outcome of the game? I can. And my wife hates it because I record every game. And then when I find that shit, I just run back and forth and back and forth. And I was like, look. And that's why the Lions game, I'm like, look it. He has to throw the ball to Adams because that's where it's got to go. Ball knocked down. Here comes Lazard. Exact same formation, dragging underneath. And this time, the defender falls down. Throw him the football. All we got to do is get a first down, run the clock out. Instead, Mason Crosby has to hit a career-long field goal just to make it a 2-possession game. It's like those are the things that I know if you were to have a conversation in private with Matt LaFleur, I would be willing to bet you all the money I have that he would say, there's a couple things he does that bug me. First of all, as Scott said, it seems like no matter what, you got to make sure the stat line is pristine and take like next to no chances when every other NFL Super Bowl winning quarterback pretty much lives their lives on taking chances.
Well, that's a good way to say it. In that game, Brady took 3 chances. Rodgers took none. Brady's chances look way worse, but he's going to be in Tampa this Sunday.
Hopefully people enjoyed this. You know, I'm sure I'll get skewered again, which is good.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like anybody else.
No, yeah, yeah.
Nobody else is selling this crap at me.
Yeah.
And I needed to come to the home of a Bear fan to get it taken care of. But seriously, hunt down the basement bench warmers. I got some cool stuff coming up, people. Appreciate all seven of you that listen to this podcast, and we'll talk again soon.
That's six more than we have.
Much thanks and love to the basement bench warmer captain himself, Scott Cavelli, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Scott.
No problem.